We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we record this podcast today and pay our respect to elders past, present, and emerging.
This is Parenting Done Rightish, a podcast where we discuss the occasional wins and epic fails of the hardest job in the world, parenting, straight from the mouths of mothers. I'm Kat Taylor, your walking train wreck and mother of three.
And I'm Melody Moko, a parent of three, a touring musician, and a red hot mess.
It's the spills, the heels, and the thrills, the tantrums.
Big feelings.
Oh, please. Sometimes we get it right, but mostly we're really just hanging on to the edge of a cliff.
So buckle up and welcome to
Parenting Done Rightish.
So I did a TikTok live last night after our 7 hours of recording podcast.
You hadn't had enough of talking.
Well, it's really funny because you left, my body was quite sore. And so because we'd sat down, right, we're sitting down for hours and hours and hours on end.
Yeah.
And we're talking, right? So one would think that the last thing you would want to do then when you left my house would be to continue talking. So I went to the gym. I did a bit of a run. I did a bit of an arm train. I actually felt really good about it. You know, I didn't have to be – I wasn't restricted with time because the kids weren't here. But then I came home and I thought I'm going to do a live on TikTok. I was going to just maybe pop on for about 45 minutes. It ended up being 2.5 hours because
Jesus.
I had the best – yeah, babe, I had the best circulation of people. There was about 150 people in there permanently.
Wow.
Just talking about – and we were talking about parenting. We were talking about different – I opened the door and said, what do you want us to talk about?
Yeah.
The general consensus was people loved it when they heard stories of you, you know, yours and mine back Aww. In the day, which I love that. And that, because it just shows how relatable it is. But they gave us a few topics. And then about 10 people kept saying, I love how open and honest you are about yourself, Kat. Like, you provide so much information about yourself.
Yep.
And I said, that's so funny you should say that, because every time Melody and I finish recording, I tend to sit back and go,
yes.
Oh man, did I overshare? Because Storm
do.
Does tell me that I overshare.
Oh, that's
quite a bit.
But that's just having ADHD, babe.
But I don't know. I don't know if it is. I just get so excitable about what I'm talking about. But I think what's actually, I've kind of managed to dissect that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, am I just saying all the things that people don't want to say about themselves that are actually there? Is that what it is? Because
yeah.
I will sit there and I quite happily said, I haven't always been a great parent. Like I said, sometimes I'm a shit piece of shit, like as a parent. And I know that. And they'll go, don't be hard on yourself. But I'm not saying that to look for compliments. I'm saying that because sometimes I'm a shit parent.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, and I'm saying that because sometimes I don't get it right. And I'm saying that because I don't want people to think that I am perfect. And I talk about the fact that I might have an unhealthy relationship with body image and stuff like that because I do. And because I know that many, many people out there do. And so what I try to do is be so transparent about myself because that's how you become relatable to people. Because that's how people will sit there and go, oh my God, this chick is my kind of chick. I have that problem too. Actually, you know what? Actually, I do. And, you know, maybe in this safe space of her page or on her lives or something like that, we can actually get to the crux of some things, you know, and it's a really good thing. So I actually need to stop beating myself up about maybe I've overshared.
Yeah, you do, babe. I say that all the time
to
you.
Yeah, I know. And I'm really, really guilty of it. Like I did it at the naturopath the other day when I said to the naturopath, I just sometimes want to stab people. And I said, if I don't stab them, I just want to poke their eyes out. And Storm put his hand on my leg. And then afterwards he goes, I think he might have overshared there. And I was like, but did I?
No.
I said, did I go all right in there? Like it was a fucking interview.
Oh
I don't
gosh.
Really know. I just wanted him to see how demented I was at the moment. But, you know, like, and when we do. So I'm going to stop doing that. But you know what? One of the comments that we had last night, or a request, was about booze and children.
Oh,
now clearly we don't want our children drinking booze. But so we're going to call this one. Can we have booze, Mum?
Now, okay. Oh yes, I love this.
You know, there's so many ages that this can affect.
Yep.
You know, like teenagers when they want to have
fetuses even.
Yes, let's do that for
a
minute.
Start from there.
You've got a red carpet story about fetuses and booze.
Okay, so I've never been very strict with rules, right? Like, so
no one, shit, Melody. unstructured much. One pregnancy, I might be like, I'm absolutely not okay with drinking even a drop of alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Like, and then the next pregnancy, I might be like, you know what? It's Christmas. I'm going to have a shandy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that I go and get drunk pregnant.
Oh, God, no. And I think we really need to preface that.
Oh, my God.
We actually do because we're talking, and I have talked to you about this before. We are talking about you saying, I might have a drink this month. And it will be a shandy, half lemonade, half beer. It will be one glass of that. So let's just, you know, we all know that, you know, alcohol and pregnancies are not a good combination.
Absolutely.
So and we're talking about something completely different to a regular day drinking, right?
Totally. And full disclosure too, like there have been pregnancies that I absolutely haven't touched anything because I've read something online that says, you know, that someone got sick. Someone had a baby that was unwell and affected by alcohol from apparently one drink. So we don't know.
No.
The fact of the matter is we don't know the science behind this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's probably best to abstain from alcohol when you're pregnant.
Absolutely.
At all times. But my story is about drinking alcohol when pregnant. So this pregnancy, I had a red carpet event. So
yeah,
I had,
which was not long ago, might I add.
No, it wasn't. So it was a couple of weeks ago. I had the Golden Guitars. I'm a country artist. If this is your first episode joining us, you can
not
find
country
me.
And western.
Not country and western, babe. Nope. Just country. And you can find me on you know, Spotify and Apple and all the places if you're into that kind of thing.
Very good music.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. But okay, so red carpet event, there's a lot of prep, right? I don't know if you've ever done red carpet, but it's kind of like a wedding. So you get your hair done and, you know, you get your makeup done and
it's get a big deal,
right? Dress, it's huge. You got to interview, you got to do all the things. So you start prepping for it weeks before, but the real prep starts in the morning where you got to sit there, get your hair, get your makeup.
Yep.
And from that minute that I sat down in the makeup chair at 10 a.m. that morning, I said to myself, oh, I'd like to have a champagne tonight.
Yeah.
It's a big celebration. I was nominated for a Golden Guitar. There's this big pre-event that usually you get hammered at, right? Like, or you have a few responsible drinks.
Yeah.
You get hammered at. And I said to myself, I think I could have one champagne. I think that's acceptable. I had the little inner monologue about it, right? And so all day long, all
you
I could think about
on that, didn't
oh my
you?
God, all I could think about was that champagne. I could not stop thinking about when I was going to get to have the champagne, dropped my kids to the babysitter, got some Maccas, went back to my accommodation, and then like ended up going back into where the event was being held like an hour and a half before it even started.
Thinking about, and I think we need to let everybody know here that when Melody likes to, you know, get excited about something, it's all focus, full steam ahead.
Oh.
Like a building, like a, you know, a building could be exploding behind her and she would still be going, I hope the champagne wasn't in that building.
Oh my God, absolutely. That would be the first thing I would think, totally. So I get in the hour and a half, I go get my hair and makeup touched up and, you know, itching to get back out there. When I eventually do get back out there, it's my time to walk on the red carpet. So they usher me out. I do my red carpet thing. It's all fun and games and do the spinny camera, the 360 camera, all the fun things.
Yeah.
But I'm still just thinking about the champagne. I'm giving quick, curt answers to everything that they're asking me. Do you want to win a Golden Guitar? Yes.
Yeah.
Who do you think should win? Just, you know, everything's really short, sharp and shiny.
Are you really happy to be here today? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And I end up back out the back at the party. I get in the line. I'm wearing this dress that makes me look not super pregnant. So I'm grateful for that because I didn't want any questions at the bar.
No.
Right?
No. Because there's a guilt that comes along with
God,
it, right?
Yeah. Totally, okay, right? Yeah. So I walk up to the bar and I'm like, can I please have one champagne?
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she says, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of champagne. And I swear to God, in that moment.
Even apples are happy for
not happy, Apple. Not happy.
Not happy.
In that moment, I swear to God, I felt like saying to her, I'm pregnant and I want one glass of champagne.
You were going to have the two-year-old tanty.
I really was.
Wow.
Because I started having a conniption inside my
head. Well, you could have flipped some shit. Like I would have, you know, like.
Well, she says to me, I've got white wine. And I was like, okay. So I walk around with the white wine in my head. It's a poor substitution. And this is the bit that got me the most. In that moment, I decided to start looking around the room to see if anyone had left a champagne laying around.
I love that. God. But I can see you doing that.
Oh, it was bad.
bad.
And then I can see you eyeball scaling things, and someone coming up going, having a good time. Yeah, shut up, get out of the way.
Right. You know, and I actually thought about going and asking people, want to swap? Well, you take my white wine, I'll have your champagne.
I love that. But you know what? And you know, when I was pregnant, so these are two different journeys here. When I was pregnant with my first child when I was 23, didn't touch a drop.
Yep.
Not only did I not feel like it, but it was the, you know, you didn't, I just, well, you know, that's what we do. We commit to this for 9 months, right? So that's what's happening. Now, flick forward 15 years later, and I'm suddenly 38 and I'm pregnant with twins, and I know exactly what I appreciate in life, and that is cheese and wine. I'm thinking to myself, this sucks. So this is part of being pregnant that I don't like. I don't like just going on with my day-to-day basis, you know, like my day-to-day, everyday routine of things like that. And I thought to myself, how can I compromise with myself here? I love sitting at home after a week's worth of work, and I love having one glass of wine on a Friday when I get – that was my thing, right? And I thought, I'm going to still do it. Once a week on a Friday.
Yeah.
I want to have a glass of wine with my friends, not two, not a full glass, you know, so it's spilling over and I can't, you know, get it to my mouth. I literally, none of that. I just want to have a glass of wine with my friends. And then when they continue on going out to the pub after work and doing all that, I'm not going to do that clearly.
Yeah.
So what was happening, and this is really interesting, this is where the mind fuck comes into it. So I would get that glass of wine, never drank it. I would literally not even feel like it. But I didn't want to tell myself that I couldn't do it. Because then when I said that, then I would really want it. And I'd be like, you feral scab picking, you know, everybody's dregs of, you know, were you picking up butts too?
Oh, not quite.
But, you know, like I did. So sometimes I would have a sip of that one. It never tasted like I was expecting it to. But it was the fact that I was still in that social setting. See, nowadays they really promote non-alcoholic wine at pubs and non-alcoholic beer. This wasn't really a thing. Even 12 years ago when I had the twins, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You didn't go there and still get your Giessen Sauv Blanc non-alcoholic wine at a restaurant like, you know, I've seen people do now.
Yeah.
There was not, you know, beer that looked exactly like beer that was served. You know, it was something that you could buy from the bottle shop, but it wasn't something that was served really at pubs.
No, definitely not.
Because, you know, that's not why you go to a pub, right? So it was really, really good. Because I think probably in that whole time, I probably had a glass of wine twice.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I love
so
that.
So it was just not putting the pressure on myself to not do it.
Yeah.
I don't like taking things away from myself that I like doing because then I feel like I'm not enjoying my life.
Yeah.
But so then we go back to the 70s and we go back to the 80s and we look at this. Remember that stupid ad where it was all about – it wasn't a stupid ad. It actually was very impactful. But it was all about, you know, the dad's sitting there having the beer and he says to his son, go and get us a coldie out the fridge, mate, or daughter or whatever. And then they'd come back out and then they'd view it moving forward that little boy had grown up.
Yes.
And then he was saying to his kids, go and get me a coldie out – you know, that glorifying or making people feel like it has to be a day-to-day thing, right? So what we, you know, want to talk about today are things like – do you let your kids drink out of a wine glass even though they're having cordial or juice or, you know, soda water? You know what? I just said cordial juice, right? My kids don't even have that. My kids drink soda water with a twist of lemon.
Oh, my God, stop it.
They're so
it.
Gourmet.
Very gourmet.
Well, that's because I never let them drink lemonade. And when they were kids, they thought that lemonade was soda water. Like soda water was lemonade. Clever. So they've never had that sweet thing. But they will always at 12 now come up to me and say – Can we drink it out of a, you know, when we're at a restaurant, can we have our drink in a wine glass or can we have a champagne flute? And I was always previously, of course you can, just get the plastic ones out of the. And then Storm, who really doesn't put his foot down on much, and he really doesn't, babe, but that's where the buck stops with him. No, I'm not fucking glorifying alcohol and making it seem like it's a really trendy, good thing to do. No, you can't. You can drink out of a glass or a plastic cup.
It's a good point.
You're a kid. And because Storm doesn't put his foot down too often, I've just gone, he feels very passionate about that. And really, because I rarely listen to anything Storm says. No. No, I do. Yeah. Ish. There's so many issues.
He's
so passionate about it. And I've like, and you know what? And I found myself being very traditional. And when the kids still ask me, I go, no, ask your father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll go that. Like, you know that he doesn't like that? Nope, we're not doing it. And I'll stand by him. And you know what? We should all do that. And I am guilty sometimes of redirecting things the way I'd like them to go, but I actually tend to now agree, because my children, we've talked about this before, have never seen me drunk.
Yeah. Oh, like, and I don't think mine have seen me drunk.
No,
either.
I mean, they've seen
you. Or
they
don't think they have.
No, because we don't get – no, because we're not rolling around drunk. I'm slurring my words and sure. I'm hugging a toilet bowl. It's not like that. You and I might have had a few wines and be feeling a bit pickled, but our children would see that as, geez, mum's happy.
In a good
because
mood.
Because we don't oversell it, right?
Absolutely.
But I have tried to change my dialogue a bit about them, because sometimes I have been known to come home and go, oh, God, I need a glass of wine. And now I'm saying it out of jest – but then I've got to take the need word out, because I actually don't need a glass of wine.
No, I would like, or
yeah,
I would.
You know what? I might have got.
Would be nice.
But you
to
know
have.
What was really great? I had one the other night, and my kids both said to me, "You haven't had a wine for ages, Mum. Like, it's been weeks."
Aww.
And I was like, "Yeah, I don't need to drink wine. No one should need to drink wine."
Yes,
you know. And so it's that sort of stuff. So would you let your kids eat?
I wouldn't let them eat glass.
No, yeah, would you? Like, you know, have it. No, would you let them drink out of wine glasses and champagne flutes and all that sort of stuff? Or put little, you know, like, here's another one, cocktail umbrellas in there.
I have. I definitely have.
Yeah.
And in fact, we went on a cruise recently.
Yep.
And Miller was having mocktails, asked to order mocktails and was having mocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the girls have. Oh, well, Maggie's drunk from a wine glass at, like, special occasions.
Yep.
However, now that you say that about Storm, I do understand where that could be glorifying alcohol. Yeah.
And that was the word he used, and that really hit me.
But I will also say that I think it's important that we teach our kids from a pretty early age that alcohol consumption in a it's the same thing with a safe way and in a safe environment. So I don't know whether maybe that is an opportunity to start from very early on about it being just, you know, a very special thing that we do at special occasions, so that they know the importance of it, the ritual
100%.
Of it.
And you know, you're so right. And to add to that, if Storm and I ever go out, like, we'll have a conversation. Storm doesn't, you know, really drink, but we'll have a conversation, and I, you know, might have said to him in the past, do you want to have a drink? We have the conversation deliberately in front of the kids. Do you want to have a drink tonight, or do you want to drive? Do you know what I mean? So they can see there's that responsible use around it
absolutely.
As well. And if I ever go through a bottle shop and I get a beer, you know, sometimes I go, oh, man, I really feel like a Han Super Dry.
Just a beer.
Just a beer. So I'll get it. And then Jesse and Billy will look at me and go, it's like they're scared of it, which is really interesting, because they've never seen us go off our faces drunk, ever. But they go, you're not going to drink that in the car, Mum. You know, you're not allowed to do it. And I'm like, of course I'm not going to. I'm just buying it because we're at the drive-thru.
And when I get follower kids.
It's they're really funny little human beings. But so, no, I think we've decided there that we're not going to.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it moving forward because, you know, also Michael feels pretty strongly about, like, Miller's been asking lately if they can have sips of non-alcoholic beer because I'll be having that because I'm pregnant, right? And obviously. And Miller says, oh, can I have a sip of that? It's not got alcohol in it. So what's the problem? And Michael said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's the taste of it that we're not interested in you experiencing
just yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's got to be a stop on that at some point to some degree where they don't need to try it. Billy was born to drink.
She's got it written all over it.
A lot of people that listen to this will see our TikToks and
Billy
is a kick-ass little spunky individual. Now, I've always said this, Melody, and I think I might have even said it to you yesterday. If Billy – right, let's just say Jesse finds himself in trouble one day.
Yes.
It will be an accident.
Yes.
If Jesse suddenly had the principal ringing me because there will be a backstory and Jesse will very easily be able to explain – he's got such a strong sense of justice and he is such a – he's such an innocent, like, oh, I can't – he's so transparent, right? And he's so honest.
And the autism, right?
Yeah, like for sure.
He can't tell lies.
And the guilt.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But he will accidentally find himself with the exam answers in his hand that everyone's been sharing around in year 12. And he will go, oh, man, I thought it was – music notes, you know, like, it will genuinely, and I know because he will be so fucking beside himself. And if anyone says to me, oh, yeah, but he isn't grown up yet, you don't know, I fucking know.
Yeah.
And, but Billy, if Billy found herself with the exam answers for the Year 12 maths exam in her hand, that will be because she put them together and printed them out for everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is Billy. And I'm using that as an example because that's how I got kicked out of maths in Year 12.
Oh, my God.
It really happened.
She's a little you.
No, but I didn't create it. Someone said to me, 1991 in Para Vista High School, didn't even know this individual, in Year 12, quick, can you just hold this for a minute? I've just got to go to the toilet. And they ran past me and gave it to me, right? And then this teacher came in and said, what's that on your desk? And I was like, blah, 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 you know, and
oh my
it
God.
Was the answers. I didn't fucking make them. I didn't even know that cool kid that just ran past. That kid's not talked to me all year. I just wanted to go, yeah, I'm cool too. You can leave whatever here, you know.
So
I got into trouble and wasn't allowed to pass. I wasn't allowed to do the Year 12 maths exam.
Stop it.
There was a f on my report card. So my dad, being a principal, was extremely impressed with me.
Oh.
But going back to this again. So this is what we've decided, you know, like with that sort of thing. Billy will want to try booze. She does want to try, but she always says to me, can I smell your wine?
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, if you want to. And then she goes, oh, my God, that smells so good.
Yeah, and I will say I have given Miller sips of things in the past.
Yeah.
Right? Like at Christmas or whatever, Miller's been like, can I taste that? And I've done it on purpose to be like, well, you're not going to like it, right? In my head.
And
I'm like,
tell me
you're not going to like red wine.
Miller hasn't just liked it.
Loved it.
Oh.
Every time.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
That's parenting done right-ish.
Right. So I think that's why Michael's now like,
yeah,
no.
Right. So then
we're
we'll
not
go,
encouraging this.
Yeah. So then let's go on to the next stage of that, which is something else that was a hot topic last night in the live. When you have, and you know, I've experienced this so far, you are yet to, but it will take place and it's probably something to think about now.
Definitely.
When your teenagers want to have a gav, now there's a lot of different things I'm learning in late in life.
Uh-huh.
There's parties.
Yeah.
And then there's gads.
Yeah.
So gav is just, you know, your smaller social scene with your intimate friends. You know, there could be 12, there could be 20, there could be a couple of friends from different schools, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they want to sit out there. Obviously, the parents are home and they want to have booze.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're 16 years old, maybe 17. I remember my oldest, she only had one gav at my house. Actually, I feel like a shit human being because I fucking wish I'd let her have a lot more.
How old is she again?
Well, she's 26 now.
Yeah, okay. So she's kind of my generation.
Yeah.
A little under, and gavs were huge.
I was so proud of her
that
night. You know why? She walked around and drank cups of teas with the tea bag hanging out the cup.
Aww.
I was actually, and you know what? I've never told her that. And I mean, there's so many things I wish I could change. But anyway, I can't. But I really wish, I don't think I would have lost her in the teenage years as much as I did.
Yeah.
Or had her become the equally, like I was, sneaky, wagging school,
right?
Doing things, no different to what I was doing,
hiding things.
But
from
I was so suffocatingly strict.
Were you?
Because I was so worried she was going to turn out like I turned out.
That's right? What I'm worried about with Miller.
Right. So I suffocated her, and I will own that. I 100% own that.
Oh.
I suffocated her, and I. Where are you going? Ring me when you get there. I want to know that parent's going to be home. I don't trust you. You can get the parent to ring me, or I'll ring that. No, I'm going to drop you off. I'm going to meet that person. I was suffocating her, and I see that now.
So you didn't let her have alcohol?
No, I don't think that I did. But
okay,
but no, sorry, this particular gav,
yes,
I said I'm not providing alcohol, but if your friends want to bring it, then it's not on me. I was also worried,
right,
and
gotcha.
I'm also mindful that I was an educator,
yes,
and I don't want 20 children's parents getting angry at me, and I, you know, you can lose your job for things like that, you know.
Sure.
But I also know it's the way of the world.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do it, wouldn't you want them doing it in your backyard?
And that is the argument, right? Like for people giving their kids alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine who has a daughter who is now in year 10.
Right.
But at this time was in year 8.
Right. So that she would have been
13.
Yep.
And had her 13th birthday, or 14th, I think it was,
right,
at their house, and asked her mum if they could have a gav, if they could have alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Alcohol at the gav, at
alcohol
13.
At 13.
So that's a firm no for me.
Right. So what this friend of mine did was she rang all of the parents of the kids that were coming, and she asked them what their thoughts were on it, before she allowed it at all.
What was the ratio in that? Because mine, if they rang me, I would have gone, absolutely not.
I don't know the ratio, but I know that she ended up buying the amount of alcohol that she thought was acceptable and that she'd talked to these parents about.
Right.
And I think it was like two drinks per kid or whatever.
Okay.
Right. And that was what there was. And if there was, and there was a deal that if any more than that was seen or crossed the threshold, that it was off and everyone had to leave.
Right.
So that was it. It was very strict rules around it. Now, I'm not sure. I've had conversations with her about this and other friends, and there's been very mixed opinion on that.
Gee, yeah. And you know what? That's a, that's fair. Like, I really actually respect and appreciate the fact that she is a big enough human to want to compromise and try and find a way that suits everybody. And I mean, really, at the end of the day, you can only do that by asking the other kids' parents.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I think, no.
Yeah, I don't know that I would do it at that age. And I've said this to her too. Like, I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with that at that age. But are we out of touch with how early that's starting now?
Well, because I don't know. I mean, are you going to let reception kids bring it in their water bottles one day? How far does it go? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm all about challenging decisions.
So what's your, okay, so you've got teenagers now. Well, they're 12.
Yeah.
That's a no from you.
Absolutely.
On alcohol.
100% no.
Okay, so what age then? 12?
No.
13?
No.
14?
Nope.
15?
Nope.
16?
Potentially negotiable.
Huh. So why?
Well, again, I'm firm. Once I made a decision, the decision is made.
Yeah.
Because I feel so remorseful, and I do, and I have so many regrets with my oldest child and how I just shut the door on every idea that she ever had, really, about having a bit of independence, that she felt that she needed to go and do it at other people's houses or whatever. I mean, she was, you know, and she probably felt like she couldn't negotiate with me and talk to me because I was so...
You weren't even open to
I wasn't.
It.
And you know what, though? I carried that over because the only parenting style that I kind of knew and grew up with was the firm no from my parents.
But that's interesting though, babe, because that was the parenting style you knew and you rebelled, but then you did the same thing to...
But you got to also remember... was not even slightly evolved at that stage in my life.
Sure, you were still so
I'm
young.
Only just really evolving into what I would consider to be a fucking pretty good human. When I say good, I mean open, seeing that grey area, being able to have other people see the grey area.
Yep.
I don't encourage just being so cutthroat.
Yeah.
And that is through growth, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
So and that's really only started to take place in probably the last 3 years. So at 16 years old, I would probably take your friend's advice and ring those parents, and then I would say to my kids in a nice, friendly, open way, well, you know what? If they, you know, because let's face it, your kids don't want you ringing your parents, your friends' parents. But I would say, look, you know, this is the way I negotiate. If you want this to take place, then you're going to have to let me make a few phone calls.
And then if they were going to a party or a gav at someone else's house, would you buy them a four-pack or whatever to take with them?
I would let them have – I don't even know if it would be four. I'd probably let them have three, but I would also pick them up.
Yes, I think this is – so I grew up with very parents that let me do pretty much whatever I like as a teenager.
Yeah.
So there was not really any – I mean, there was rules as in you shouldn't do that, but then there was no follow up. There was not. I didn't really get picked up or dropped off to parties. There was no accountability.
Right. Yeah,
at all.
And yeah, and see, my parents wouldn't let me do two things in a row, two nights in a row.
This is my biggest debate around it, and always has been, or my point of reflection. Right, I don't know that it's parenting style that avoids these things. So I know you're saying you had that very restrictive parenting.
Yep,
I didn't have that.
Yeah,
but I still was rebellious against what, I'm not sure, but I just went and did whatever I wanted.
Authority? I think you were probably rebellious against authority.
Maybe.
Do you think?
Maybe. But then I had friends with multiple different parenting styles and I'll tell you that each and every one of them managed to do exactly the same things that I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whether you provide the alcohol or don't provide the alcohol.
A bug just flew up my fucking nose.
Stop it.
It flew up there.
Sniff it out, babe.
No, and then it flew out. What is that saying about the size of my nose?
Well, how big was the bug?
Well, my nostrils are pretty like slits. I watched it go up and I was like, oh, no, no, we're in there. Oh, you're talking. I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
But it's out now.
It's in there. And then it just went. Wow.
Anyway, I wouldn't want to stick around in there too long either.
But yeah, but you, so you're saying that you had. I wouldn't want to either.
I mean, I just don't.
Not a lot of space in there. but yeah, so you're saying that no matter what your friends, well, no matter what where the children came from, they were still all doing the same.
Yeah, I think, okay, so my point is that as an adult, I think reflecting on it now, that I think it's more about education in the earlier years and a trust and a respect with your parent, which I think your kids have.
Oh, definitely.
And I think my kids have too. Well, I hope they do. And I think that that is the key to perhaps the responsible relationship with alcohol. And I'm not suggesting that kids won't, excuse me, kids won't fuck up. Mm. I'm not suggesting they won't go out and get paro one night, even if they do have the best relationship ever with you. But I'm suggesting they'll do it in a safe way because they won't feel scared to call you or come home or.
And I think as well with my oldest, when she was going through, I mean, she was never a big drinker. She was not a person that went out. It was just wanting free, wanting the leash, you know, taken off, you know. She just wanted to breathe probably. But I also had two young babies. This is later on when she was a teenager, but I had two, the twins were very little, but they were two or something. And so I had an arrangement when she wanted to go to a party or something like that, I would drop her and her friend off.
Yep.
But then I would leave it up to another parent to pick them up.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to wake up two babies at 11:30 at night, put them in the car with an oxygen tank and then go.
Sure. Oh, my God, of course not.
And she got that, you know.
Yeah.
But I also felt like I wasn't also that mum that when she got home from things that I was going, oh, tell me all about it, Liz, because I was tired because I had the babies.
Right.
And I knew we were going to get up at 6 o'clock. Well, her, the twins and I were going to get up. So I just wasn't as available. And I think I made the mistake of not fucking realising – you know, we do this job with our children and they grow into teenagers and we think, oh, you know, you know what's going on. You know what you're not allowed to do. You know what you're allowed to do. You're mature now. You've got, you feed yourself, you dress yourself, you do your thing, you catch your buses. But we forget that they're still fucking children.
Absolutely.
And they need, if not more attention in different ways. And I wasn't emotionally or I wasn't checked into that. And that is a regret. Okay. That I will have, and no one can change that.
Yeah.
That is a regret that I will have for the rest of my life. Mm. So, yeah, I think we need to be open to all the whole alcohol thing. You know, I've got one of my best friends and her kids have always had gads at that house. In fact, her and I have gotten more messed up at some of those gads than the kids have and they've asked us to leave and we're just giggling our heads off.
Well, my house was the gav house growing up, you know, like I had the parties.
I can picture that.
Yeah. That was always the way that it went down. But I will say that did expose me to a lot of different parenting styles and a lot of kids who were parented in different ways still behaving in a very similar fashion. Yeah. So I don't know whether that was generational.
Yeah.
And perhaps now that we're trying to build this, you know, awareness and a safe conversation style with our children, maybe that's the key to it being, I don't know, or maybe there isn't an answer because,
It's a big thing. I'd be really interested in what other people have to say about that, you know.
Because if you just say no, right, like,
No to me. When I don't know about you, but if I was, well, you didn't really have it, but when I got told no, that all I heard was, right, we got to get creative with this.
Yeah.
I didn't hear no. I didn't even ask half the time. I just knew it was going to be a flat out no. So maybe I didn't give my parents the benefit of the doubt either.
Yeah.
So I just took off and did my own thing.
Yeah, because there wasn't that trust. With you didn't trust that your parents were going to listen or consider you.
Hell
or
no.
Yeah.
I couldn't even have a conversation. My kids constantly say to me, don't tell dad, but mum, guess what? You know, and that's great. I love that.
Because they're still open with you.
They're very open with me.
Yeah.
But they're very open with their dad. And I'm sure they say to him sometimes, oh, mum, miss mum. But I love the fact they can go to either and all of us and can complain about each other or.
Very true.
You know, and share things. And some things I do go and tell, like, Storm.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like I do. I think, you know. I think I need to.
Of course.
You know, because I don't want him to get a rude shot. Like, you know, when the day when I looked at Billy and I realised she was growing into a young woman and I said to Storm, from now on don't walk in the bathroom when your daughter's in the shower.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't anyway. And I said, I don't know, but just definitely just do not now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's different, you know, there's different things. So, yeah, so that's our topic for today.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
A hard one. I would love to hear from, like, parents of teenagers in ways that they feel that they've killed that, you know, like ticked a box.
Yeah.
Like, how do they have that responsible conversation? Are their kids responsible with alcohol? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you another thing. When I do finally let the kids have GADS, there will be a number gap. Like, there'll be a number cap.
Oh, on the GAD?
Yes, it'll be 20 max. Because I need to be able to control that.
Absolutely.
I would always have another adult there with me. And you need to not tell me to not go out in my own backyard or something, because I want to wander through and drop off food and come back in.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And
in your dressing gown looking like a wildebeest.
Fucking oath. But I think they're all you kind of – look, Billy had school the other day. I had two girls come up to her. It was kind of cute. She had two girls come up to her, older girls. And they went up and said – and she thought, you know, I think she was in that middle stage of, oh, my God, these girls are approaching me. Aww. What have I done? Like what do they want?
Billy.
Because they were older. And, oh, my God. Two older girls are coming to talk to me. And so they went up to her and said, is your name Billy? And she goes, yeah. And they went, oh, our mum's watch your mum on TikTok. And then they just walked off. But, you know, I think by then everyone's going to be used to me. But
I love that.
Definitely I'll be present.
Yeah.
There'll be some guidelines and rules.
Yeah.
And there will be, you know, all the parents getting – these kids need to get picked up.
And everyone will sign a media release that their kid may appear on TikTok.
I would never do that. Oh, my God. I'm waiting for the day when my kids turn around and say, no, you're not posting that. Oh, that's going to happen, surely.
Oh, totally. I reckon it'll happen with my kids too. At the moment, I do ask them permission.
I always say, like, can I post that?
Yeah, no problem.
Sometimes when mine are in a mood, they might turn around and go, don't post that. And I go, oh, really? But it's classic. And they're like, no. And so I don't.
Of course.
I do tell us a lot of stories about them though.
Yeah, but you know what? You're telling that story. It's not their face.
I just imitate them.
Oh my God.
Look, it's humorous. And you know what? It's all about the hashtags, man.
You know
mum
what?
Mum comedy. Yeah. Mum humor.
And this is a conversation for another day, exploitation of our children on social media.
Oh my God, that was just such a big word.
Exploitation.
You're a fucking hundin. Anyway, let's go to bitches and mums.
Oh my God.
That sounded almost good. My bitch.
Tell me. Bitchin. This is a good one,
This bitchin is a good one. I am really grateful for bosses that in the workplace that accept tattoos.
Oh, definitely.
The stigma is dying. It's still around, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure depending on your job, like, you don't want to be working for H&R Block.
Maybe not.
Time with tattoos all over your face. But I'm not talking about that. But, like, I just think about mine, you know, no, I haven't got hundreds of them, but I do have a few, and they're, you know, in the middle of summer, I do not want to be covering them up.
Yes.
You know, and so I'm really grateful that people's attitudes towards tattoos as being bogan feral have now, because, like, if you look up bogan in the dictionary, because bogan's now made it to the dictionary, did you know that?
Oh, great. Love it. What does it say?
Oh, it's something about tattooed.
No.
Yeah. Can you look it up?
All right.
Can you look it up? It is, but it's just
because I've got my own definition. It definitely doesn't involve the word tattoo.
Yeah, it's got something about it in there. But I'm really grateful for the fact that people are just realizing that it's art now.
Apparently,
what does it say?
An uncouth
or
unsophisticated person regarded as being of low social status.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm sure it said something originally when it was added in there about tattoos. I wouldn't have picked up on that for no reason.
I reckon maybe
they had an example of it in a sentence.
Totally right.
That's probably where it was. But there was always that stigma. You know, like, at the end of the day, two people might go for the same job, equally qualified. One didn't have tattoos. One did. They were going to choose the one that didn't have the tattoos. Do you know what I mean? There was always a bit of a thing. But now, it is art.
Absolutely.
Art. And I love it when I get an old. And I have had older people. Like, there was an 80-year-old, probably 80-year-old lady at the shops who came up to me one day and went, I really love your ink. And I thought that was the cutest.
Oh, my gosh.
I was just the language I wasn't expecting them to have. But and then she goes, my granddaughter. You know, and at that, having that one granddaughter has probably changed yes. her view. That's what happens when we're surrounded by things, right?
I will say Adelaide is very conservative still.
It is.
And Adelaide, I find that there's a lot more of a snobbish attitude towards things yeah. like that, whereas yeah. somewhere like Queensland, New South Wales, you get more people that work in jobs that you wouldn't expect traditionally there would be.
Do you think it's more arty-farty there, as in like creativity, music,
festival-y type? I don't know if it's that. I honestly think it's that Adelaide, there seems to be a little bit more of a conservative attitude in Adelaide generally.
Unless it's March.
Unless it's Fringe.
Unless yeah. It's Fringe.
Oh, and I mean, look, and I love Adelaide culturally.
Yeah, no, but how happy is Adelaide in yeah. March?
Yeah, it's
there
the
are people from all over the place. People are so fucking happy.
Yep.
And there's so much creativity.
Yep.
And they see a world full of people. I'm sure yep. so many pregnancies happen in March.
Totally, right. And I recommend everyone's when they tell me I'm from Adelaide, they're like, oh, when I say I'm from Adelaide, they're like, what's Adelaide like? I'm like, oh, you gotta go. It's a great city.
It is a great
Such
city.
Such a good city. Good food, good culture.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful architecture, all of the yeah. things. I yeah. love it.
Shit drivers.
But yeah. there is generally a lot of snobs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I live in one of those
yes.
particular areas,
yes.
so I'm not a bogan. I am quite sophisticated.
Yes, you are.
But I will tell you to fuck off. Anyway.
You're the best of all of the things. No, we need you. We need
right,
you.
My
we need
moan.
Your moan,
Sorry
baby.
That dragged on. My moan is the price of boxes when you want to move house. Do you remember going to Foodland, Coles,
yep.
Woolies, everywhere, freaking Yardunda Farmers, all of uh-huh. the old, everyone had
Bilo.
A massive box full
yeah.
of boxes.
Yep.
Take as many as you like. You'd
yep.
reverse up your van, your truck, your whatever, and you'd put hundreds of boxes in there, and that's how you would pack your house, and they were all free and no one looked at you sideways. Now, I don't even know. I can't even – you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen one of those around
Bunnings.
For a while. Bunnings. Okay, good. So everybody in the middle of the rental crisis can only go to Bunnings.
Yeah, that's it.
to get them.
Just right. Bunnings.
You know what, though? It doesn't matter because no one's getting a fucking house anyway.
Oh.
So, but I looked up 10 solid boxes
yep.
to purchase
yes.
$39.50.
Yeah, that's messed up.
And, you know, people go, yeah, but you've got them forever. But who keeps them forever?
No, you don't, especially not if you're renting.
And then I've seen people selling them on Marketplace
yeah.
because they have to buy them.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, there's just a lack of – I don't even understand what's happening to the world.
Marketplace is the way to go for boxes.
Yeah.
And also looking on those community groups, people give them away sometimes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation.
We gave away a whole barbecue, just said come and get it for free because it was old. And,
the Buy yeah. Nothing groups, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I got to look at – yeah, see, I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, get back on there, babe.
No.
Only for those things.
I can't do it.
But,
there is – your turn.
Okay, fine. My bitchin' is that, holy moly, your sister-in-law.
Oh!
Or Storm's sister, right? I
yeah,
don't know
my,
what you
my sister. Your sister-in-law. Like my sister. I'd say she's my sister.
Your sister gave us a platter of food for our recording. And I tell you what, she's from a bit of a posh suburb. So I keep making a joke that, you know, she's the Mayland sister, bought us the posh food. So we've got these delicious dips that I swear to God.
Yeah.
Ratio of dip to biscuit that we've been putting on these things is obscene.
Honestly, porcini and black garlic. Now, I wouldn't have even thought that that was a combination, let alone something I would buy.
Can I tell you what? That is the nicest thing my mouth has had in it in a long time.
That's what she said.
Oh.
But she's given us cheeses and dips and smoked salmon dips. We've just been happily
gorging.
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 Not even elegantly.
No.
It's actually
not even
like
remotely.
Wolverine.
So that's my bitchin'. I'm so
grateful for Jeanette.
Incredibly grateful
Thank
to her.
Thank you, Nettie.
Thank you.
Do it every time.
She should sponsor the show, basically, with her food. I'd love that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, bring us more food. And then my moan has to be that I slept last night with my – okay, so I used to have a dog.
Right.
This sounds weird. I slept last night with my – I used to have a dog.
Yes.
I slept last night at my mum and dad's house, and my dog that I used to own now lives with my parents. Don't come for me, everybody.
Hey, you didn't give it to a pound.
I did not.
Right.
When I had my third baby, I said to mum and dad, can you take the dog just while I have a newborn?
Right. Fair.
Because the dog is not well trained. My fault. Absolutely my fault. But the dog would bolt all the time and, you know, it was too much for me to manage. Yeah. My husband travels a lot for work.
Yep.
So mum and dad said, of course we can. We love that dog. We'll take it.
Love it.
So they took the dog, and then as the dog touched down and landed in Adelaide, my mum called me and said, you know, you're not getting the dog back. The dog is now ours.
How did you feel about that? Did you kind of, had you kind of gotten used to it by now? I mean, you can visit the dog whenever you.
I was like half cool with it and half outraged.
Okay, well, that's not even a fine balance. That's almost like psychopathic.
It was weird because I was cool with it for myself, but I was outraged for my son, my child, okay, Miller, yeah, who I knew was going to have a grieving process because they'd had that dog since birth.
Oh, okay.
So that was my big thing that I was worried about. But anyway.
So last night.
It all turned out fine. Last night, the dog slept in the bed with me.
Right.
And
how big is it?
It's a King Charles Cavalier.
Oh.
So it's a, like a medium sized dog, but it's very hairy.
Oh, like it sheds?
It sheds.
Oh, okay.
A shitload of hair.
Okay.
And I tell you something, I think I built up like a tolerance to the allergy.
Oh, really?
But then last night in the bed, the allergy was all over the shop.
Oh, it reinvented
again.
Itself.
Yeah. So this morning, I woke up sniffing, sneezing, itching. All of the things.
All of the things.
But I didn't want to kick the dog out because I felt bad. I'd kicked it out of my house already.
Yeah. And you know what? It probably missed you because, you know, she probably has trauma. Anyway, just saying. Come back with us. Go and follow us on all of our socials. FlyU48 Insta, Tiki Toki, Melody Moko Insta, Tiki Toki. Go and follow us and you know, join the bandwagon.
Jump the shit
on
the show.
Jump on the train wreck. I can't even talk.
Train wreck.
All right, see you next time, folks.
Love you guys. Bye.